Amanda. I'm an alcoholic. That was an awesome introduction. We always like to say, like, we're going to have a perfect Monday when we go to par. We're really lame. We actually have fun there. I know, it's kind of sick. So my sobriety date is January 28th of 2009. This is my home group. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. I recently got some new sponsees who are awesome, and I think it's because my life is just being really crazy right now, so I don't know what's going to happen, but usually when I get more sponsees, something's like about to happen, so that makes me nervous. But it's also good because it reminds me of like how crazy I was and, you know, just like how hard it is to get sober in the beginning. So let's see. I had my first drink when I was 14. I like to think it was this one time, but recently I was just thinking about it up there, and congratulations to obviously Bill and everybody. My first drink was actually like a Mike's Hard Lemonade that I watered down after, which is like so obvious. Like that's like my parents obviously knew what I was doing. So you know I wasn't very slick from the beginning. The second time I drank, and I told Bill I'd talk about my drinking because he loves drinking and drinking stories, and you know that's what like I related to when I got here, and you know I'll tell you about my sobriety too, but I definitely related, and I really related a lot to Bill when I got here, and like he would hang out with me and listen to my crazy, you know, when everybody else probably was like ignoring it or you know just like okay tuning it out. And sometimes I get nervous to speak because I'm an oversharer, and I'll just like, when I first started speaking, like I just would say anything. So, you know, I probably will say something inappropriate. So I hope I don't. But if I do, maybe it'll help somebody. So let's see. Okay, so the second time I drank, I blacked out. I woke up the next day and I was told that I had like made out with my friend and her dad was like coming to steal her from this party that we were at, and I just didn't believe that. I was like, that's not me. Like that didn't happen. And I was trying to like tell everybody that couldn't have been, but it was. And like 10 people confirmed that definitely happened. It's really weird. And you know, so after that, like I just remember like the first 5 minutes of that party, I was so nervous. Like Nikki talked about, like that anxiety and like fear of people. I was so anxious around people. I think that started for me in like the sixth grade. I didn't like public speaking, like anything like that. If you told me I had to get up in front of a class, I would like have a panic attack and like cry to my teacher. So I was at this party and, you know, I'm like shaking. I was always shaking even before I drank, very nervous. And then the minute these guys get there, they're like with this big bag of natural ice and like a hockey bag. And I'm from up north. I'm pretty sure it was like the winter then. It was always freezing whatever season it was. And they get there and I'm like immediately, like I don't even know what natural ice is, but I'm immediately like putting them in like hiding places around my friend's house, you know, and like I just start chugging and I don't remember anything but like 5 minutes of that night. And regardless of how embarrassing it was, like the next day I was like, I want to feel that like 5 minutes again. Like that was the best 5 minutes I've ever felt. Like Nikki talked about, you know, like I just felt free when I drank, and like it worked for a long time for me. You know, I wouldn't like have continued to do it, and I had a lot of good times drinking. Like sometimes I'll still think about times I'm like, that was really funny, and then I have to remind myself that like how bad it got, and you know how it's like not cute to pee your bed, and you know like be shaking so bad that you can't drive your car. You know. So for high school, you know, I didn't drink right away every day. I went to a boarding high school by choice, and oh my God, looking back, like, that was a nightmare. Like, the thought of even, like, going to reunion freaks me out. It was, like, really preppy. Everyone was, like, really intense and competitive, and I was just miserable, you know, so. But I did drink, like, whenever I could. I drank on the weekends. But, you know, never really got in the way of, like, school. You know, I was still able to, like, get A's, and I was, like, really, like, type A when it came to school, but, like, a mess when it came to, like, my personal affairs. And I kind of thought, like, as long as my grades are okay, like, no one can say anything, you know, and my parents can't, you know, what are they going to say? You know, and I didn't get in trouble at school, so I thought I was good. Eventually, like, the weekend wasn't cutting it, so I started drinking at school. I started, like, basically I took, like, whatever I could to change the way I felt. Like, I was, like, having people pass me Adderall in the hallways, and, like, that was actually helpful because it, like, helped me get good grades. But then I was, like, up all night by myself, and I started drinking by myself. I had no problem with that. I actually preferred it. In the end, I drank a lot alone. And so by the end of high school, I was, like, really crazy. I was kind of known as, like, that crazy person. Like, that was all, I was always coming in with, like, some ridiculous story of, like, you know, like, being 16 and, like, going to, like, a frat house. And, like, that was, like, what I did every weekend. I thought that was, like, cool and that, like, people actually wanted to hang out with a 16-year-old girl. Now looking back, like, if I ever saw someone my age or younger, like, I don't know. It's just disturbing. God was definitely looking out for me, for sure, because way worse could have happened. So I don't know where I was going with that or why I said that. Let's see. Okay, so by the end of high school, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Like, I've made a fool of myself. I did get my superlative of, like, biggest party animal, and I remember being, like, really proud of that. And I remember telling my mom, and she was, like, just disgusted, you know, like, you're disgusting. And my mom was always telling me, like, you're an alcoholic, like, you're a mess, and you need help, and I'm going to, you know, tell your father that you're doing this. And I was like, go for it, you know, he doesn't care. And I always just somehow seemed to get away with it. It was always like a big, like, my mom would cry and tell me that, like, I was, like, ruining my life, and I don't have any respect for myself, for my body, and it was like a daily, like a weekly thing. Every week we had this conversation, and then it was just like, okay, you can go to your friend's house for the whole weekend, and then I just did what I wanted. And like Nikki too, I had a lot of friends that all my friends' parents were divorced, and it was awesome, and a lot of them drank, so they just let us do whatever. My house was not like that. You know, my parents don't really drink. My dad does occasionally. He blacked out at my bridal shower. It was hilarious. He was, like, on the floor with the dog, like, groping my friend. Luckily, it was like, after most of the AA people had left. So I was, like, my goal after high school is, like, I just got to, like, find a new, like, zone. I got to get out of here. And I wasn't, like, really missing anything in Massachusetts anyway. I had, like, one friend. I had one friend pretty much throughout high school. And then we had, like, the different groups of guys that we would hang out with, like, depending on who wasn't mad at me or, like, who wasn't mad at her, or, like, who we hadn't, like, you know, puked in their car or whatever. So my plan, like, I didn't really have a plan. I just heard from this girl at my school, Daphne, and my friend Daphne's actually in AA now, and she spoke for me a couple years ago, which is really funny. And her sobriety date's 420, which I think is cute. And so she was like, yeah, I know this school. I'm looking at this school in St. Pete on the beach, and it seems like a really good drinking school. And I was like, awesome, that sounds great. It didn't have any of the criteria I had, like, told my college counselor I was looking for. I was looking at University of Vermont. Like, it didn't match up. But I was like, you know, I think I'll check that out. And I came down here, and I looked at it. And there was a cute guy on my tour who ended up later becoming my boyfriend. I thought it was fate that he was on my tour. I mean, it didn't last very long. So I ended up coming down here. My goal for coming down here, like, my goal, you know, a lot of people, like, they're like, yeah, I can't wait to start college. Like, I have, like, a new dream that I'm working towards. And mine was, like, I'm going to quit smoking because I need to get a boyfriend. And that's why I don't have a boyfriend, because I look trashy when I smoke. And I don't take into effect, like, effect that I, you know, I'm a blackout drinker. Like, every time I drink, I am, like, you know, I have no idea where I'm going to end up. Like, any guy who ever dated me, like, I feel so bad for, because they were mostly, like, a babysitter. You know, it was always, like, something. You know, it was always, like, cracking my head open or, you know, totaling my car. It was never pretty. It was never cute. And I didn't always intend for it to be like that. Like, my best friend that drank with me, like, she could drink a lot, and I was always like, well, how come she doesn't black out? Or, like, when she does black out, you know, her life isn't as bad as mine. And I wake up the next day, and I want to drink again. And, like, my friends always thought that was, like, really weird. And then if they didn't want to drink with me, or, like, they would make a comment about it, I'd get really offended. Like, I don't see what's the problem. Like, we're 17. And so I get down here, and, you know, I think I did quit smoking, but, of course, every time I drank, I would have a cigarette. So somehow started dating that guy, and, like, things just got, my alcoholism just progressed. I, you know, by the end of high school, I was a daily drinker. If I wasn't drinking, I was shaking really, really badly. Whenever I see someone shaking, it just, like, that's, like, a huge, like, reminder for me. Like, even when I get, like, too much coffee, I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't ever want to feel that way again. And, like, my whole body would shake. Like, it was embarrassing. And so if I wasn't drunk, I didn't want to go to the cafeteria. I didn't want to, like, go anywhere outside of my room. It was really, like, debilitating, actually. Like, it was like having, like, a disability. I couldn't, like, do anything. And the guy I was dating at the time, he would say, like, you can park in the handicapped spots. And And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, because that's how, like, sick I was. I couldn't, I basically, like, forgot I was going to college. I, like, never went to class. I went to a class one time with my stuffed animal. So I dropped that class. I still have that stuffed animal. She's loved my life. Even though Berkeley ate her face, my dog. So I basically stopped doing school. I just kind of, like, drank whenever I wanted to. I basically had free reign to do whatever I wanted. And, like, I think it was, someone spoke recently, Jeremiah, and they were talking about the Albertsons brand vodka, and it came in, like, this big plastic bottle, and it was, like, $9.99. It was called Heritage, and all of my friends and I thought it was, like, the best thing ever, just to get, like, the biggest, cheapest bottle. In high school, I thought it was cool to, like, try to get Grey Goose, and then once I started drinking a lot, I was like, it's better to just get, like, as much as you can for, like, the best price. And so I was always had my little plastic bottle with me sticking out of my Vera Bradley backpack or my Natty Ice, like, always. And I thought it was, like, cute or funny, and, you know, other people didn't think so. Eventually that guy broke up with me, and I got super depressed, and that was, like, that happened a lot with my drinking. Like, every time, you know, because the things I did when I was drinking, like, who wouldn't be depressed? You know, I put myself in these situations, and, I definitely, like, had a few suicide attempts, but then I was, like, too drunk to follow through. I really remember thinking, like, you know, I'm probably not going to live too long. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen. My mom's brother had killed himself. So every time I would, like, go to do it, I was like, I just can't. I just can't do that. Like, yeah, I'm killing my parents right now, but this would kill them more. So my parents finally figured out, you know, they knew it was going on the whole time. ADD over here. they were like, you know, there's no reason that someone who, you know, had A's and B's in high school now has, like, F, A, W, W, F. Like, and then a lot of times, like, I wouldn't go to class, and then I would, like, tell my teacher, I would find some way to withdraw, but, like, I just couldn't get the paperwork. Like, I couldn't, like, or I would get it signed, and then I was like, oh, I can't walk to the registrar's office. Like, I was the person who, like, people would walk me to class, and I'd, like, open the door, I'd be like, oh, I just can't. Like, I have to go back to my room, I have to have an Amanda day. And I did, I called it, like, an Amanda day, and, like, every day was for Amanda day. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, I just did whatever I wanted. So that's what AA was really hard for me. Like, when people told me I had to be somewhere at a certain time and, like, not say no, you know, like, that's still hard for me, because I just did whatever I wanted. One of the blessings about that school was that I made some really awesome friends. I'd never really had, like, a big group of girlfriends before, and I had these friends, and we called ourselves the Trash. We were really awesome. To this day, like, we'll meet people from Eckerd, and we'll be like, yeah, you know us, right? And they're like, nope, never met you. And we thought we were really cool at the time, but we only hung out with ourselves. It was, like, 10 of us girls, just, like, a gaggle of craziness. But they were, you know, it was funny because, like, they drank really heavy, but they, like, went to class. They, like, volunteered. Like, my friend Kathy is going to Africa for the summer to, like, just do service work. Like, that still to me is, like, okay, that's, like, that's a lot for a whole summer. I don't know. They're just good people, and I really think God put them in my life for a reason because they, you know, they started to see the sickness in me, and they were just not having it. They called my parents, you know. Some stuff had happened. I started hanging out with really sketchy people, because my friends were, you know, concerned about me and my behavior. You know, I was driving drunk, and, like, I wouldn't wear my contacts. I was blind, you know, just like the Cyclops. And I was having people put them in for me, and I was, like, you know, I was all over the place. And my roommate actually, like, transferred. She was one of my good friends. So I was, like, I would lock myself in my room even though we all lived in the same hallway, and they would be, like, banging on the door, and I wouldn't answer. And, you know, I knew I put them through a lot, and, like, they would sit down and talk to me and be like, you know, you're, like, hurting us, like, you're hurting your family. And I was like, you guys drink too, like, everyone just needs to relax and leave me alone. And that was my attitude, like, I'm not bothering you, like, you don't bother me, you know, like, we're all good. But I had no idea. Even when I got sober, I got a letter, like, my friends would write me letters when I was in treatment, and one of them, I remember I was so resentful. I, like, brought the letter to group, and I was like, my friend is, like, really mad at me, and I've been sober for 2 weeks, you know, she can't get over this, and I just wanted everyone to forgive me, like, so fast, yet, like, I hold on to things for years. It's gotten a little bit better. So, you know, since my friends were like concerned for my drinking and my welfare, I was living on a college campus, yet I decided to go on Match.com to like meet people to drink with. So I was just going out to all these different places at like, you know, 2 a.m. and just putting myself in like really scary situations that today I'm just like baffled by. But you know, I did anything I had to do to like drink and to drink with people who would like understand and not judge me. So I ended up doing something really weird, and Eckerd was like really concerned, so they sent me to PAR for detox. And that day I was like, okay, I'm going to detox, like this is awesome. I packed all my stuff, I packed a wind chime, I packed dresses. I thought I was like moving in. I was like, and that's like when it talks in the book about like not being able to tell like the real from the fake, false or whatever, like that was so me. I didn't know like what was really happening or like what was reality. Like I would ask my friends like, what really is going on, you know? And I get there, and I was there for a couple of days. I got out. I didn't have any intention of being sober. I was 19. No, I just turned 20. And I drank for like a couple more months after that. Nothing really different, just a lot more of the same. And, you know, I just was, you know, out of it. Like, for 1 month, I remember I wore my Dorothy costume. You know, it was like November and December because I was trying to, I went to this doctor to get Xanax, and I'm like, I have my friend's dog as Toto. And, you know, I just like, I don't know why that didn't like cause attention to this doctor, but the psychiatrist, it's still to this day, I'm like, how did I get away with that? And, you know, I'd call him, I'd be like, someone stole my pills again. And, you know, things just like, I was just insane. I was literally like, I can't even imagine like the amount of work it took to live that way. Like thinking like when I think like my life is stressful now, I'm like, oh my God, like at the end of my drinking, it was too much work for me to mix a drink. Like that was just like a lot of work. Like I'd put like a splash of Gatorade and be like, okay. So in March of 2008, my mom flew down here, and I'm not sure how much time I have. Okay. My mom flew down here, and I'm like, for once in my life, I was actually trying to do homework, because I still felt like I just always felt like I could do more than I was doing, but I was like so stuck in my alcoholism. But I only had my one contact in. I remember that. I was like, you know, couldn't put my glasses on, and I get this knock at my door, and it's my mom, and I'm like, why are you here? Like, get out of my room. I'm screaming at her, and Eckerd's security guard is with her, and I'm screaming at him because I've been convinced that he's been, like watching my room, and that he stole sparks out of my fridge. I, like, still to this day, I'm like, I probably owe him an amends, but his name was, like, Jimmy something. It was, like, some very, I can't remember, I can't believe I don't remember his name. It was something very generic. I could never find him, but I one day maybe. It's gonna drive me nuts. Okay. I hate when that happens. So they get there and they're like, Amanda, just calm down, you know, and I'm like, get out of my room, mom. Like, no respect for my mom. I'm like, you don't own me. Like, she's like, well, I pay for this room. I'm like, you're a stay-at-home mom. You're a loser. You don't pay for anything. Dad does everything. You know, I had no feelings for anyone else, like no compassion. I was like that kid that told my mom I hated her when she wouldn't let me go out and drink. And so my mom and the school counselor and someone else, they had, because I'd been, of course, seeing the school counselor after detox and telling her my crazy, which is weird because a couple years later, I ran into her at my grad school, and I was like, great, I have to, like, make amends to her. And I did, and it was really cool. But they sat me down, and they were like, you know what, you can either come home to Boston with me, my mom said that, or you can go to treatment. We've already set up a treatment center here. And I was like, well, I'm not going anywhere with you. Absolutely not. I like hated my mom with passion, if you couldn't tell. My mom's awesome. You know, we definitely have our, like, we've had our differences this year for sure. But, you know, she's an amazing woman, and I cannot even imagine, like, having to put up with me as a daughter. Like, that scares me. Like Nikki said, I'm terrified that I'll have a daughter. I'm terrified about a little me. Hopefully it'll be more like Sean or Berkeley or something. So, you know, at that point I was like, and I remember sitting there in that office and I was like, don't even have a problem. But like at that point I was so exhausted, and I know I was giving them an attitude, but I didn't have any fight left in me. And I was like, you know, all my friends hated me. I'm failing out of school. You know, school was the only thing I ever really had going for me. And now I didn't even have that. I was a mess. I was like sick all the time, you know, just like physically, like very, like not okay, very bloated. Not a pretty sight, you know. I was wearing like shirts as dresses, you know. I thought that was cool. And you know, they were like, there was one place they wanted me to go in Clearwater, but it was co-ed, and they found Hyde Park, which is like over here. And they were like, yeah, you're gonna go there. And I was like, okay. So it's gonna be like that movie 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. And I saw that in Detox, and I could totally relate. It was like the first time I thought like, wow, like maybe I could be an alcoholic, but I still thought I was too young. So once I got to treatment, like they took me to YPG, which was absolutely terrifying. And everybody did look like really shiny and nice. And I remember all I had at that time was like my dresses that were super short and my workout clothes, my pajamas. So all I wore was my workout clothes, my pajamas. And I just felt so uncomfortable. But I looked around and I saw all these people that were young and like happy, and I don't know, it was weird. I didn't really like want to get involved right then and there. I was just kind of like forced into it with treatment. I did get a sponsor because they told me I had to, and I had the same sponsor that Nikki was talking about, and oh my God, like I did drink again one more time, but then when I came back, like she was still my sponsor, and I was terrified of her. Like I remember I went to Icky Paw, and it was in Atlanta, and it was like 3,000 young people. And I got up during the meeting to, like, go smoke a cigarette, and someone, like, told her from the group. And so she, like, had, like, a talking with me, like, in our room after. And I was, like, mortified. I was like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. I think Jen Bunker was there, wherever you are. I saw you. Yes, I think you had gone with me. And she was new, and I had, like, taken her outside with me. And sorry, I just totally messed up your last name. Sorry. So, you know, I was like, it was kind of like forced into like doing things because I was afraid of her, and I wanted people in AA to like me. Like I was scared of Monica, but like I really liked her, you know. There was like, you know, and like our sponsee family was like really into like doing AA and like not talking on your phone and not doing things like that during the meeting, and just like taught me how to be respectful, which, you know, it's still like a struggle. You know, I'm not gonna lie, being in the booth, it's really hard sometimes, like not to look at my phone. I'm not gonna lie, like can't lie about it. You know, other than that, I'm pretty good when I'm in a meeting, but back there, it's like dangerous. No one can see you. Greg's like, I can see you. So I started doing the steps with my sponsor, which was amazing. You know, I mean, I don't think it was amazing at the time, but it, you know, it brought me to like here. It helped me believe in, like, I didn't believe in God or higher power or anything. Like I was just, but I wasn't like opposed to it either. I was just kind of like, okay, I guess I'll try that. And I did, you know, and I had nothing else, like, I didn't really have anything else to lose, you know. People were like, try this, you know. I was like, okay, I've tried other things, might as well. And you know, I just kept coming back. I kept coming to meetings when I didn't want to come. A lot of AA has been doing things I don't want to do, and I always feel so good after. You know, and I just started, like, doing what my sponsor told me to do. She would be like, reach out to that new person over there. That person picked up a white chip, and you have 3 days, you know. And I would be like, I have nothing to offer. And I soon realized, like, how it doesn't even matter. Like, it helped me get out of myself. And, you know, today that's, like, the biggest thing for me. And I was at a meeting the other night where people were talking about sponsorship. And it's so funny because I am so selfish that sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, like, I have to answer the phone. And I forget that, like, my sponsees help me so much. Like, I need people like that to call me. I need people to, like, help me get out of myself. And, you know, I've met the most amazing people in this program. Can't even, like, you know, I told Bill I wouldn't say anything about my wedding. I usually don't talk about my husband at all, but, like, at my wedding, I looked out, and it was, like, all AA people, you know. It was, like, 80 people from AA, and it was just, like, I've never felt, like, that loved, you know. Like, and those were the people I was, like, wow, you know, and there were people in my life there that I'd made amends to, and, you know, it was just cool, you know, people that, you know, show up for me at a drop of a hat, and I never feel bored here. I think that was, like, my biggest fear when I was, like, getting sober, is, like, my life's over, like, no more fun. I don't even know what I was thinking was fun, because now I'm really lame, and, like, I would be fine with watching TV for, like, months. But I have to force myself to get out of that. Dave and I have all of our favorite shows. Nothing like a good show. So... I couldn't really follow TV when I was drinking because it was always a blackout. My friends would be like, we've seen this movie, Amanda. We've seen it a million times. Thank you. And I guess the biggest thing today is, like, I don't wake up, like, today hating myself. I wake up and I think I'm, like, a pretty decent person. Like, I definitely make mistakes. You know, I was reading something the other day about, like, just, or no, it was a speaker tape Bill gave me about just, like, trying to do good and, like, trying to be a force of good. And today I think I really, like, do try that. Lately I've been, like, you know, I started a new job last month and, like, that's really scary for me. So I've just been, like, trying to do more AA. And I always find, like, whenever I do more AA and whenever I reach out to God more, like, everything else is okay. And I feel more calm than I've felt in a long time. And, like, that shouldn't be the case because I have this, like, weird new job and some other crazy stuff happen. And, you know, but things are good. And I definitely don't know how much longer I would have lasted drinking. But I can't imagine my life without this program. And I just hope I never get, you know, too busy to come here because this is, like, what got me a life today. And I'm so grateful for, you know, Bill, and I can't imagine my sobriety without him. You know, we go to par every couple months together, and he'll always text me to go, and, you know, we always have so much fun, even when the people, like, make fun of us. And, you know, people like Bill kept me coming back, you know, made it light, made it fun, and, you know, gave me hope that, like, I could have a good life. And sorry for whatever, who knows what was said, but hopefully help somebody.